we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday, Brevard County, and welcome to our first broadcast, October the 3rd, 2016. This month will be the completion of our third year of the Refresh Radio broadcast, and some of you have been with us from the very beginning. We want to thank you for your faithful listening and your encouraging reports. And yesterday we had Pastor Appreciation Day at our church, and so I want to say thank you to Merritt Assembly of God for putting up with me all of these years, and my wife and my family. We're blessed. We're almost to reach our 24th year of ministry there, and it is a great honor to be able to be there. And so thank you to everybody who loved on us and the staff so well. We've got a great staff. We've got Heidi Andriak. She leads our worship, and the challenges that she faces as a worship leader. We have a piano player, and then, you know, we've upgraded the technology through the years so that our we try and make up for the lack of the number of musicians that we have. And so we found this program a year ago, and now we can actually customize our praise and worship as we're going through. It's literally like having a band in a box, and so I want to thank her for all that she does. I've got the best office manager in all of Brevard County. Her name is Karen Russo. She helps keep me in line, keep me organized, and she takes care of so many different things in the office that she just is a really great job. And she does all of that. Now she is a little backlogged right now because of a holiday in September, but she does everything that keeps us running and efficiently. She does it in about 10 hours a week, and I think that speaks highly to her capability. And then we have Craig and Sharon Butler, who are doing a phenomenal job. In fact, Craig is our youth pastor. The youth group will be meeting this Friday night at 6:30, but beginning on October the 16th, their youth are moving to Sunday night. We are going to have three different worship services going on, if you will. We're going to be having actually the youth service going on in one part of the building. The children are going to be doing some Bible quizzing in another part of one of the buildings, and then we adults are going to be having our praise and worship service in the sanctuary at 6:30, and we're really excited about this new launch. You see, back in 2005-2006, 40% of our congregation moved away. We had a healthy youth ministry and a healthy children's ministry. And during that time, especially in 2006, we lost all of those families due to relocations across the country. And that was devastating. And so we are very thankful to God that He gave us a strategy a number of years ago to help rebuild that. And so now, our children's ministry is healthy and growing. Our youth ministry is growing, and we're looking for even better things to take place there. And we're believing that soon we will have a young adult ministry that is the next step on the process. So you got to have a vision. And I will say this, we had to hear from God. God's plan was different than my plan. And so when He spoke to me and He said, "This is the plan that I want you to implement," I was like, "God, you're going to have to help me to do that because I don't know how to do that." And so Craig is our youth pastor. Sharon, his wife, is our children's pastor, and she does just an absolutely fabulous job. And So we are very, very blessed and just have a great board. They love missions more than I love missions, and I love missions. You know, maybe we shouldn't compare that to one another. They have a passion for missions. When God spoke to me probably, you know, 7 or 8 years ago about doubling our missions commitment, the board said yes. And then about 4 years ago, the board said, Pastor, we believe that we need to tweak our missions program, and we need to increase that even more. And so I'm thankful. You see, we have the vision that God has given to us, and we have a team in place that is united in fulfilling that vision. So pardon me for taking just a few moments to thank the people that make Merit Assembly of God Merit Assembly of God. We are truly blessed to be there. So Heidi's husband, Bill Andriak at Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. You know, there's been a little bit of a cooler weather. I'm believing for even more cool weather to come our way. So it might be time to start looking to make sure that your heater is up and running. Some people like their home not to get below 80 degrees. And I have a friend that he posts, he's a little bit older than I am, but he says, I like to keep my house on 74 and then I turn the heating blanket on. So if you like yours a little on the warmer side, we want to encourage you. Maybe you should call Bill Andriak, 759-3284, and have him come and check your unit, make sure it's working efficiently, get it all cleaned up. And as always, you know, there's the potential of needing your air conditioner all the way up till December. I remember a December where it was 85 degrees, and you want your air conditioner on for that. So come give him a call, 759-3284. Let's get to Isaiah 42 today, Isaiah the 42nd chapter. Again, this is a messianic, Isaiah 42, a messianic passage. It talks about Jesus. And we have talked about he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Today I want to talk to you a little bit more about Jesus, our example, the characteristics that he operated with, and they would be characteristics that would be good for you and I to operate with. It says, he will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice on the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Again, this is talking about Jesus, and you know, I'm going to try, and you know, I've said on here a number of times that if you listen long enough, you are going to hear me say some things that, you know, may come out wrong. They may not come out the way that I intend them. And so a little over a week ago, I went to church on a Wednesday night, and a person said, do you realize what you said on the radio today? And I said, no. And my wife happened to walk up and at the same point in time, and they both said the same thing. He said, you were talking about driving a house down the road. I don't care what kind of house you drive down the road. And I looked at him and I said, but you don't understand. I've actually had to do that in my life. I actually lived in a travel trailer for a period of time. My entire family lived in a travel trailer. And there was five of us. My grandmother came. She lived out there with us for a while. And we had a dog. And so we literally drove our house down the highway. And so, most people do not drive houses down the highway, but, so anyway, we got a good chuckle about that. And then another person talked about, something that I said, about, and they picked up on a phrase, and I didn't remember saying it, but, you know, I got no reason to doubt their credibility, that what Jesus was trying to say. Well, I want you to know, Jesus is the world's greatest communicator. There is nothing that is a hindrance in his communication capabilities. Maybe I should say what we need to try and understand from this communication. And so if you were offended by those statements, I apologize, and we'll try and do better next time. So we're going to look at Jesus' example here about how he conducted his life here on earth. It says, he will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. What I believe is being said here is that Jesus was not going to make a spectacle of himself. He wasn't looking to be the carnival sideshow. He wasn't trying to say, look at me, draw attention unto me. He was just going about the Father's business. Jesus said, the word says that Jesus spoke the words that he heard his Father say, and he did the things that he saw his Father doing. And you and I, we need to make sure that we are not the focal point of what people are turning their attention to. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. A lot of people say things just to get the attention on themselves. If you have kids, you need to understand that in a child's mind, negative attention and positive attention tend to be the same thing because they get your attention. The focus is all of a sudden fixed on them. Now, part of that could be because we tend to get so busy in our society that we fail to prioritize the relationships that we have been entrusted with, where we are supposed to walk with our children, we're supposed to talk with our children, we're supposed to show our children how to live, we're supposed to instruct them in the ways that they are to walk with God. They should know our testimony, they should know the laws of God, they should know what pleases God and what displeases God, they should know the benefits and the consequences, and they should see in us a living example of that. I had a job one time. I was a manager in a shoe store, and my wife would come. She would work the night shift. I would work the day shift, and she would bring our son. He was 3 or 4 at the time, and she would drop him off. She would start work. I'd take him home, and then I'd come back and pick them up later. Pick her up later. And one day my son was wanting to tell me something, and I was getting I was giving instructions to the assistant manager where I was at. My son was pretty short, 3 or 4 years old. You can picture the height and then add an inch because he was a little taller than most kids were at his age. And we are there, and I'm giving my instructions to my assistant manager of the things that needed to be done for that night. And my son is saying, Dad. And he's, kind of pulling on my shirt. And I'm focused on giving the instructions. And then my son's getting ready to have my attention for the rest of the night. Dad. And I'm not hearing him. And all of a sudden, he just rears back and he punches me right where his arm height was. And all of a sudden, I'm doubled over and I'm looking him in the eye. And I said, oh. And he said, Dad, I need to talk to you. He got my attention. And there were other times that he employed different means that got our attention. And if you were a child, there are things that you've done to get attention. And that's what happens. Right now we're in a situation where there are a lot of things that are taking place in public environments. There are protests that are going on and things like that because they are trying to draw attention to something that they see. Now, I will tell you this. I've had some conversation with some friends, and some of them have been very educational, very insightful conversation, because there can be a disconnect between your desire to draw attention to the perception of a problem and the reality of a problem. And so where some people are focusing on the facts and the other people are focusing on a macro problem, even though this might not be the perfect example of it, they're still trying to draw attention to a macro problem. And so I was having a conversation with a person here several weeks ago, probably maybe even 2 months ago at this point in time. And one of the things that they said is I've got friends that are doing this, he said. And he said, my thing is, if you are out there doing a public protest, you are trying to draw attention to a problem so that the people in power can already can do something about a problem. But if the people in power are already the solution to the problem, what are you doing drawing attention? Jesus said, I'm not out here to create a sideshow. I am out here to bring the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is near you. Jesus was not there just to get his ego stroked. I don't preach on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night just to get a pat on the head and say a good message, Pastor. What I am looking for is a timely word from the throne of God, a timely word in due season that will bring about transformation in someone's life. And if it doesn't bring transformation on that day, I want to make sure that the seed is sown in such a manner that they are never going to be able to forget it, and that it will one day come back and produce good fruit. Jesus spent 3.5 years with the disciples, and they were basically as clueless on the day he was crucified about they didn't know what was going on, even though he had told them, even though he had prepared them. And so he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he's going to remind you of all of the things that I have spoken to you. We need a good reminder in mechanism in place for you and I, because our memories are not everything that we think that they are. I have conversations with people all the time. They remember things that I don't remember. I remember things that they don't remember. And then all of a sudden, one of them will say, oh, now I remember. Now, we need to be reminded. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit's remind? And so Jesus came and he said, I am going to live this out. In fact, what happened many times was Jesus would tell people, now don't go out and make this publicly known in a verbal manner. And if they violated that instruction, the crowds would become so large that he would have to withdraw to another place for a different purpose. He would have a great impact on a city. He'd get up the next morning, and while he was praying, he'd come back to the disciples and say, let's go. And we tend to think in exactly the opposite manner. We think, oh man, now we have a buzz going, we have momentum going, and all of this sort of stuff, and we need to stay here. And Jesus sometimes would say, you know what? I've got other villages that I've got to preach to. I've got other villages to preach. Now, don't misunderstand, he drew huge crowds. And when he started sharing with them the difficult, challenging truths of God's word, a lot of them were offended, a lot of them were confused. And at one point in time, so many thousands had fled away that he looked at the disciples and said, are you going to leave as well? And the disciples said, Lord, to whom shall we go? No one else has the words of eternal life. So his ministry was very public, but it was a transformational ministry. We live in a society right now where there are so many selfies. We're actually working on some things at church right now that will glorify not self, but serve. Our purpose statements are to love, to serve, and to grow. That's who we are. And you don't have to be just like us in order for us to love you. Fact, we love a lot of people that we say, God, how can we show them the love of God in the most effective manner? Because, God, we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. We are not called to love people the way that we would understand love. We are called to love people the way that they need to be shown love. Forced forced expressions of compassion may not always be appropriate expressions of compassion. So you and I, we need to stay in touch with our Heavenly Father. He is the Commander-in-Chief. It goes on to say, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. In other words, as Jesus is ministering in this public manner, that everything was not always going to be peaches and cream. It was going to involve some hurting. That's where a bruise would come from. It would be an attack on the reed itself. It would be something that would come from an external force. You and I, if someone punches us, if we hit a wall, if we fall down, a lot of times we end up with bruising. And what happens is what that external force has done is it has impacted us in such a way that there is damage done internally, and it manifests in broken blood vessels or things like that, a bruise. Now, a reed that is bruised, it would be a place where that plant would be weakened just a little bit, but it's not going to break them. I want to tell you today that God is not in the business of ordering your steps to your own destruction. He is interested in ordering your steps and directing your path so that you can be a trophy of His grace and of His favor and His blessing. So if you are going through a difficult season right now, I want you to cry out to your example, the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, God, this is not a painless season. It is not an easy season. But Lord, I'm asking you, don't let it break me. Don't let it break. Don't let the political craziness that is going on in America right now, don't let that break you. You see, every once in a while, I'll get to this in a little bit. So, probably on tomorrow's broadcast. So I'll just pause for just a moment there. Don't let the craziness break you. Don't let it overwhelm you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. There's an old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus, that when we are weathering the storm, that He is the one who sustains us. I've said it before. I've actually got it written down in my journal. I was reading a news article one day about a song that was out, and the person who wrote this particular song, they did an interview with her, and she was going through a season where there was something that they were desiring, and it wasn't going very easily. It was a challenging season. They weren't seeing the success that they wanted to see. And so she was crying out and praying in this situation. And God spoke to her and said, called her by name and said, the wind and the waves still know my name. The wind and the waves still know my name. And I've got that written down. The wind and the waves still know God's name. So today, if you're going through some conflict at work or some disruptions at home, those waves, they still know the name of Jesus. Don't cry. Don't go crying out to Jesus and trying to wake Him. Don't you care? Don't you care? That's exactly what the devil wants us to believe, is that God is unconcerned and He is detached from our circumstance. I'm going to tell you that Isaiah 42 says that is exactly the opposite mindset of what God actually has. God is not detached. He is not a silent partner. He is not a faraway witness. He is intimately involved. You and I, today, our strength comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was true that His body was attacked and beaten, and He was crucified on a cross. But I'm here to tell you, He's the resurrection, He's the life, and he is there to show you that he holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. When he says to you, this is what we are going to do, because whenever he gives you something to do, the reality is it is you and him together. It is me and him that are going to work on this project. It is the body of Christ and the God of the body of Christ. Let me rephrase that. It is the body of Christ and the Christ of the body. I like that. The body of Christ and the Christ of the body that are going to get the problem taken care of at the same time. It's going to be a project being worked on together. I'm sorry, I just had to write that down just a moment because that wasn't in my notes either. I like it when God speaks things to me and it ministers to me. So right now, I want to address, summarize the two things that we have talked about today. One is, are you trying to draw attention to yourself? And the second is, if you're under attack, let God be the one who sustains you. It says there, a smoking flax he will not quench. That means that the wick isn't burned as long as it is attached to the oil supply and attached to the flame. It just continues to burn up the fuel. It doesn't burn up itself. And I want you to know today that God has an inexhaustible fuel supply. You and I, we need to stay connected to him. If his light is going to shine, it's going to stay. It's going to shine because we are attached to him. And his light is the one that sustains us. Praise God. Praise God. So if you're under attack today and you've been bruised, I want to pray for God's healing for you. And if you have been trying to draw attention to yourself, I want to encourage you to give Jesus a different goal, and that is for him to draw attention to himself through you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Basically, my understanding of that is this. By this shall all men know that you are mine. When you are loving one another, people will know you belong to me. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that people would hear the words we say, they would see the life we live, and they would know we belong to you. Lord, today, if there's anybody going through a difficult season where they've been bruised, they've been wounded, they've been injured, I pray for you to come and heal, come and strengthen, come and fortify, and bring glory to your name in Brevard County. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new, tell how great you are, tell my praise to you is like an